from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors, who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we're in the 7th of 8 days of the annual 2nd Easter octave of the mystagogical catechesis about the role of Jesus in the Eucharist in the Christian life. Church gives us this liturgical lesson 4 times every 3 years, every Easter season at daily Mass, and then in year B on Sunday Mass. And it's so important for us to go deeply into this, because this is the heart of the Christian life. By this point, Jesus has already worked the prelude, which we focused on last Friday, of the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish, so that people would grasp what sign he was saying. And the sign wasn't about free meals from a carpenter from Nazareth, but it was toward a greater multiplication that would happen and a greater source of sustenance for which he wanted us to labor far more than food on the table. He described that he was the true manna who had come down from heaven. Just like the Jews had manna in the desert every day in order to survive, so we, in this desert of the Christian life, in this valley of tears, are given by the Lord our supersubstantial daily bread. Jesus himself is that true manna. Jesus describes the gift of faith that's so needed. No one can come to him unless the Father who sent him draw him. And the work of God is to believe in the one he sent. That when the Father draws us and teaches us, we need to listen to him, to learn from him, and to cling to him, as we pondered yesterday, to do what he says. And then today and tomorrow, we're going to see the response. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Let's start there. Very good question. How? How is an appropriate question. Doubting that he would when he was saying it doesn't flow from faith. But just like Our Lady at the Incarnation asked about the modality, since she had already consecrated herself as a virgin, it's fine to ask the question how he would do this without doubting that he would. But there was something beyond it. This was a question that went more deeply to an obstacle that was being placed. For a Jew to hear these words about eating somebody's flesh would have sounded very easily like cannibalism. And you couldn't even touch blood without being ritually impure. And Jesus was saying you needed to consume somebody else's blood. We've heard these words so many times that we cease to be grossed out at the surface level of them. But Jesus wanted to go beyond that gut instinct, telling us that unless we gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood, we do not have life within us. But that if we eat his blood, eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will have eternal life and be raised in the last day. Do we really believe this? Do we really believe this? That if we're not entering into a holy communion with the Lord through the Eucharist, we do not have Zoe within us. We do have bios. He has given us the gift of life, just like he's given to animals, just like he's given to non-believers. But do we have Zoe, that higher form of supernatural life that we draw from the Lord? And do we structure our life on this reality? Jesus points to two means by which the Eucharist is supposed to become alive in us. The first is food. We become what we eat. And that's why Jesus says, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. We're supposed to become more and more like Jesus to enter into Holy Communion. Second, relation is filiation. Just as the Father has life and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. That we draw our life from this regeneration that Jesus gives us, which in a sense renews our baptism. The early saints looked at Jesus not just as the Son or the image of the Father, but also as the principle of life. They looked at Christ's own paternity in generating us through the power of the sacraments. We are meant to draw our life from him. There are many Christians who believe in the doctrine of transubstantiation, who adore Jesus, who love Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, who don't yet draw their life from Jesus in the Eucharist. Greatest illustration of what this means, I think, comes from the year 304, during the Diocletian persecution, when in modern-day Tunisia, the local prefect informed the 49 Christians in the town that they could not convene on Sunday morning, and if they were to convene for the Eucharist, they would be arrested, sent to Carthage, and immediately killed. They said, thank you very much for caring about us enough to tip us off. And on Sunday morning, they all came together at dawn and celebrated the Mass. And the prefect came and asked him, why did you do this? This is the last thing I wanted to do. I cared about you. You were good. And now I have no choice but to arrest you and send you to Carthage. And the oldest of the 49, properly named Emeritus, stepped forward and said, Sine Dominico non possumus. Without the little Lord, we cannot make it. They would rather die physically and have Jesus in the Holy Eucharist than die spiritually without him. They were willing to die for this reality. They were living off the Eucharist. The Second Vatican Council says that Jesus in the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life. The source, the starting point, the reality from which everything in the Christian life flows, and the summit, the goal toward which everything needs to be directed. And there were many good Catholics who still haven't grasped this yet. Even some daily communicants who come to receive Jesus as their daily vitamin or their daily activity, but are not drawing all their life from him in the Eucharist. The greatest test is whether we can go without Jesus in the Eucharist or whether we think we're dying inside. As I've said to you before, sisters, on everything that I ever preached to you, I'm a hypocrite. Except really this, when the light bulb went off for me as a college freshman almost 30 years ago, that it really, 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 really is Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And that there's nothing more important that I could do on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, etc. I have never missed Mass once by God's grace, because I just couldn't imagine going a day without Jesus in the Eucharist. To draw our life from Jesus in the Eucharist. and to make him the goal. How do we do that at a practical level? It just can't remain an idea. St. Jose Maria had a beautiful practice that I try to live by, which is, after receiving Holy Communion in the morning up until the Angelus or the Regina Caeli, he would just constantly be thanking the Lord for the gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist earlier that morning. He would be drawing all the energy he needed for his work from that ongoing encounter. And then from the Angelus or Regina Caeli on to Mass the following day, he would be preparing. He would be uniting all his work, all that he would do, with the Paten the following day, so that at the time of the offertory, Orate Fratres, ut meam ac vestrum sacrificium, when he would offer his own sacrifice together with the Lord, he would have united his entire day. And so he lived from Eucharist to Eucharist, so that his life really became Eucharistic. And that principle we can all live by. Today in the first reading we have the dramatic scene of the conversion of St. Paul. We have a chance to focus on the meaning of the conversion side every January 25th. But what I'd like to ponder is two consequences of the Eucharist. St. Paul would later write to the Corinthians that he passed on to us what he himself received. That on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he took wine, changed it into himself, and gave it and said, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." St. Paul passed on what he had received. It was the same formula he would use later in the letter about the kerygma, about how he would announce that Jesus was crucified and die. The summary, the actual lived experience, what you would call in Hebrew the zikaron, the living memorial of this, happens in the Eucharist. And then he would say thereafter, "I no longer, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me." He would live off this self-giving of the Lord in the Eucharist each day. That would become his life, and it would become the source of the church's life. That entering into Holy Communion with the Lord, we would enter into true communion with each other. We would become the mystical body, one spirit in Christ. That is the means by which Jesus would be able to say to Paul in today's first reading, not, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my followers?" Not, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my church?" Not, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting these good people?" But, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because the Christians are those who truly draw their life from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? He gives us his flesh to eat precisely because he wants us to become like him. So we prepare to receive him and receive the renewal he wishes to give us. Let us ask him for the grace to feed on him and have life because of him. Praise be Jesus Christ.